This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
A really basic skill that I used to be really good at, and I was quite proud of it, was being able to look at a map, say, you know, the Melways here in Melbourne, and assessing several sort of cues along the way, and I could remember them. And I was always able to get to my destination without fail, without having to look at the map again. And now, I suppose, with maps available on our devices, we've got navigation systems in our cars, it's a skill that I've completely lost. Now, this is just one example of where technology has replaced something that we used to do ourselves. But now we've got artificial intelligence, and specifically generative artificial intelligence. If you look at ChatGPT and the impact that it's already having on people studying at university. So will AI dumb us down, or will it make us think about problems we never thought we could solve? Well, joining us this afternoon to chat about this is Principal Research Scientist at the CSIRO, Claire Mason. Claire, welcome to Joy Drive.
Hi, Warren, and you're not alone. I can't do anything without Google Maps either.
It is, but it's true though, isn't it? That is a skill that essentially we've lost over, what, since the internet became available.
And it's not the only thing we lost with the internet. It just became so much easier to find information, and what the research suggests is that consequently we've become less good at remembering information.
So our memory, our ability to store information is diminished since the internet started.
Absolutely. But it seems like we've used that freed up mental reserve to actually become more sophisticated at problem solving and creative thinking. So I guess it's that illustration of our brain's plasticity, and we're letting technology do some things for us that it does really well. And in consequence, we concentrate on the bits it can't do. And that's a really good principle for understanding what happens when new technology comes along. We, the humans, get better at the things it can't do.
So what now? I mean, we spoke about maps before and having, you know, the manual Melways out and remembering that. And I mean, that's a task of remembering and, I suppose, associating certain landmarks, etc., to where you need to take a particular turn. But now we've got artificial intelligence, which is a whole different kettle of fish, isn't it? So what impact is that having? Are we still, is that going to take up all that our brain does eventually?
No, but it has been developing in sort of waves, where originally it could only do very routine things. And so it kind of meant that we became more involved in highly skilled work. And this new wave of AI, the generative AI tools and large language models like ChatGPT and Midjourney and many others, they can do some problem solving and some creative thinking. So it seemed like that might threaten us in a different way. And for that reason, it's really important to understand how they work, and that fundamentally they're still just prediction machines. They're prediction machines that now draw upon gigabytes of data and use really complex models so that they can actually interpret language and images and music fairly well. But the rule remains that they can only provide solutions for problems that we've seen before and developed approaches for dealing with. So they can only do what they've seen in their training data. And yes, they are creative by providing a nearly infinite variety of options for how to write or how to design something. But again, they're still only going to do it in the way they've seen it done before. Right. So in a way, it could still mean that we're going to get even more specialized, not necessarily dumbed down, but it does depend on how we respond to this new capability.
We're chatting with Claire Mason, Principal Research Scientist at the CSIRO, about how generative AI and technology will change the way we think. Here's a hypothetical for you, Claire. Let's say technology suddenly crashed or disappeared for some reason, would we still have those skills that we had prior to the internet, or would we struggle? And, you know, have we become too dependent on technology, I suppose, in a way that we approach problems?
For sure, I think we would struggle, just as if you told me to ride a horse somewhere instead of driving a car, I would be really lost. But we'd adapt, I'm sure. Just please don't take away my iPhone anytime soon.
During the pandemic, though, we did see how the information that was being, presented was believed without any clear thinking at all. That's something that worries me. Are we losing our ability to critically assess information as it's presented to us?
Oh, that is such a good point. And that's another cognitive impact that we have seen from the social media algorithms, which have begun tailoring the information that we see so that it aligns with our pre-existing beliefs and values. And that has been a problem. It has led to what people call ideological polarization and the likelihood that we will believe things like fake news. So I think that's a really good illustration that it can dumb us down if we aren't really knowledgeable and critical in how we apply them. So one of the things we think will become increasingly important is very sophisticated critical thinking, understanding when and where to use the AI, but also, you know, to justify our role as the human worker, how to improve upon it. And I think in that respect, diversity and original thinking are going to become even more valued, because that will be how you add to what the AI can do. The AI is only going to do what it's seen before. You as a human have the capacity for original thinking and critical thinking, and that is how you'll differentiate yourself and remain, enhanced and augmented by, instead of diminished by AI.
I like that way of looking at it. So it's like a delineation. If we haven't thought of it before, it won't know. So anything we think of that's new, we still have to teach it. So it's always going to be behind us in that respect.
Absolutely. And sometimes it's about tweaking something, because generative AI still has the voice of what is typical, if you like. You can vary how much diversity it exhibits. Like, you can tell it, I want you to just give me the most likely correct answer to this prompt I've given you. Or I want you to consider some of the less likely ways of answering this question. So it's just saying, oh, okay, I'll look at less common responses. But it still can only draw upon those existing ones. And so, yes, we as humans, by being different, are going to add value.
Do we trust information more that's presented to us from technology than we do, say, from a human?
That is definitely one of the biases people could exhibit. And another one is the failure to trust them appropriately, like when they can add value. So one of our problems is that we've developed a lot of cognitive heuristics or rules that help us understand and predict human behavior. So, for example, a typical one is somebody who speaks very eloquently or does a task very quickly, we will tend to assume they can be trusted to do really well on other types of tasks. But AI, artificial intelligence, is not like human intelligence. It doesn't have what we call general intelligence. It has the ability to do the things it's trained to do incredibly well, and then to fall over completely when you go outside of what it's trained on. So we cannot afford to rely on our existing cognitive heuristics and biases to determine what AI is going to do well. And that's why I think AI literacy, something people already talk about, which is an understanding of how AI tools work and what their strengths and weaknesses are, that's going to be increasingly important. And just as Eskimos have many words for snow, I think we're going to have an understanding of the strengths and weaknesses of ChatGPT versus Bing versus another one, which I can't remember because Google is holding that information for me.
That's what happens to us. I'm thinking, I would like to know, I suppose, if someone presents information, like you said, really quickly, and we think, yep, you know, we feel confident in the information that they're presenting to us, I want to know, when I'm dealing with artificial intelligence, what it knows really well, so that if, I can then make up my mind and say, well, I know you don't know this area, so I'm going to be a bit more critical about what you've presented to me,
yes,
as opposed to this AI is an expert in numbers or something like that. Would that help in terms of preparing for
Absolutely.
The AI future?
I think that's a very good rule. Understand what data it has been trained on. Mm. And then the strengths and weaknesses of that data set will be mirrored by the AI. And that's why we talk about the potential for AI to exacerbate existing biases that we've seen. So, for example, in recruitment, that historically white men have been more likely to be hired in roles. And so if you train on these applicants are more likely to get the job in the past, it will continue to make those same decisions for us. So yes, very much it is useful to understand what data it's been trained on and what limitations that data has, what isn't in there, what biases it might have, what errors might exist in that data set as a way of predicting when the AI can and can't be trusted.
Claire, this has been a fascinating conversation. I feel much less threatened by AI as a result. We just need to make sure that everyone's critical thinking skills are up to date, and then we'll be right.
And that we engage with these tools and play with them and learn more about how they work. I think that would be great.
I wonder if people were having this sort of conversation when telephones were first introduced many years ago. Claire,
great. We could ask Google.
Great, you will ask Google. Great to chat with you. Thanks for joining us on Drive.
Thank you, Warren.
Claire Mason, Principal Research Scientist at the CSIRO.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.